from the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confession at the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. Let's turn again then to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, if you will hear his voice. Christian life is a daily living of the Christian life. We don't live the Christian life in fits and starts, spasmodically or episodically, but day by day living the Christian life. And one of the essential things to living the Christian life day by day is that we hear the word of God. We are not to be people who live for yesterday, as if we're always harking back to the good old days, when the church was like this and when I was like this and so on. Not to be looking back, nor are we to be living for tomorrow. We wish it was like that. But we are to be living today. And to live the Christian life today, one of the essentials of that is hearing the word of God. Living each day in the light of yesterday, in anticipation of tomorrow, of the future, but living in the light then of what God has done in the past, and what he promises to do in the future, but listening to God's voice today, hearing his call on our life today. We receive daily grace, and we're to receive daily his word. And as a result of that, though our human nature will know ongoing decline and decay, our inner spiritual life can be renewed day by day, by receiving daily the grace of God and receiving his word. So there's little wonder that a Christian will live his life in the praise of God. Every day I will praise you and bless your name forever and ever, says the psalmist in Psalm 145. And if we're to be doing that, then we must be daily receiving the word of God, listening to Jesus' voice. So my text there is Hebrews 3 verse 7, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 15, today if you will hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts, chapter 4 and verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. A threefold exhortation which justifies a certain amount of sermonic repetition, an exhortation to daily listening as God speaks. We should listen and not harden our hearts, says the writer to the Hebrews. Now, it's very important whenever we study a text of Scripture that we look at it in its particular context. That's particularly important when you're looking at the letter to the Hebrews. The writer of this epistle is anonymous to us. I know before the reading I said the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. The actual author is anonymous to us. We're not told in the text. And rather than a letter, the book of Hebrews is written more like a theological essay written to Hebrew Christians, hence its name, the Epistle to the Hebrews. And these Hebrew Christians had come to acknowledge the Lord Jesus as their Messiah, as the Son of God, and as their Savior. And the writer now is writing to these people because, for a variety of reasons, they had become to be in danger of renouncing Jesus, of lapsing back into their former practice of Judaism. That was the situation, and that's one reason why this epistle is so relevant to us. Because whether we are Hebrew Christians or Gentile Christians, it doesn't really matter. But we too are exposed to exactly the same danger that these Hebrew Christians were. Not one of us is immune to the danger of backsliding. Not one of us. We're not even immune to the danger of complete and utter apostasy. We either engage in the daily fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, or we do not. And that warfare is unremitting, and we can be easily tempted to give up on that. Persecution, especially in the form of ridicule from your family and friends, is extremely difficult to bear for sensitive spirits. And then there's the pressure, there's the prevailing pressure of secularism, intellectually and morally. The constant pressure through the television, through the radio, through social media and so on, all the other mass media, is unremitting. And it is very difficult to stand up against that pressure which ever threatens to overwhelm Christian faith and practice. So how can we possibly stand firm and not be swept away by this flood tide of secularism or evil? How can we hold fast our confession, which is an oft-repeated phrase in the letter to the Hebrews? How can we hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, without losing our grip on these things? Or how can we cling to our Christian moorings, as he says at the beginning of chapter 2, and not drift away from those things? That's the theme of the letter to the Hebrews. Just glance down to verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's the situation then. But what advice does this anonymous author give to these believers as the best protection against backsliding? One of his great themes is a theological theme, which is not what we're looking at this morning, even though it's a major theme in this letter. It is that Jesus is unique. That is, there is a certain uniqueness about Jesus, a certain finality about Jesus, that God has spoken and God has acted once and for all and forever in Jesus Christ, and that he now stands superior to every other person. He is superior, says the writer, to angels. He's superior to the prophets. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Aaron, and he has won for us an eternal redemption. So it is utterly inconceivable that any believer should turn away from him. That's the main theme of the letter to the Hebrews, a theological theme. But there's this second theme that I want us to take up this morning, and it's a very practical theme. That is, that we need to be perpetually vigilant, to live our lives every day, a day at a time, listening every day to the voice of God, never hardening our hearts against him, but responding day by day as the voice of God comes to us. And then our hearts will never get hardened, and we shall never drift away, because we'll be living one day at a time, responding immediately to the voice of God. It's a very important practical lesson. So let's look at this text, and hopefully we'll learn some important things from it. The first is this: God is still speaking today. God is still speaking today. That is the fundamental thesis of this author of this letter to the Hebrews. There is a voice. There is a heavenly voice to which we must be listening. Verse 7 and 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. So there's a voice to listen to. And this author takes it for granted that God is speaking with a living voice, and that through the biblical text he's quoting, God is speaking. Now, this truth that God is still speaking today provides us with a very healthy biblical corrective to a couple of false notions that are quite widespread in the Christian church. One false notion is that God spoke, but that he speaks no longer. It's held by people who know Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 by heart. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And we're told that both the verbs are there in the past tense. They are aorists, and therefore they refer to the fact that God spoke in the past. Well, that's quite right. God did speak in the past. And then they go on to say that this divine speech of centuries ago completed the revelation of God. That's true too. That is also correct. And so the canon of Scripture is closed. The books that make up the Bible, the Word of God, is a closed book. We add nothing more to it. So God spoke through the prophets, God spoke through Christ and the apostolic witness to Christ, but then he stopped speaking. Ah, well, now that's where the mistake is made. They're absolutely right in what they affirm, that God spoke in these ways, but they're wrong in what they deny when they say, therefore, he speaks no longer. You see, that view reduces the Bible to a sort of museum piece in which, under glass and like a fossil, the Word of God lies like an exhibit, all musty and mildewed, as if it's something that belongs to the past. And such a view of as that reduces God too, making him like a dumb idol which has a mouth but cannot speak. But notice how verse 7 begins. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. So the Holy Spirit is speaking with a living and a contemporary voice. And we need to avoid then this notion that God has spoken, but that he doesn't speak any longer. That denial is mistaken. The second false notion is that God is speaking today, but that what God says doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Scripture. And people who affirm that view, either in plain statements or as is more often the case, by implication arising from their practice, clearly don't understand or believe the finality of Christ or the finality of Holy Scripture. So they believe that there are new and fresh revelations that God gives today that supplement Scripture, and the more extreme amongst them will say that overrides Scripture, because they say the Bible is such an old book and we need fresh revelations from God today. And in saying that, they're in effect saying the Bible is a dead book. But though people who hold such views often speak about Jesus, you see, the views they're expressing are actually derogatory to the unique glory of Jesus, because Jesus Christ is God's last word to the world. If we won't hear him, God has got nothing else to say to us. God is silent to you if you will not hear what Jesus says. He is God's last word, fully and finally. And the historic testimony of the apostles to Jesus, these things amount to the last word that God has to say. Nothing can be added to what God has told us in and through his incarnate Son. And so we are to avoid those two errors. The view that God spoke but he doesn't speak any longer, or the view that God speaks but what he says doesn't need to have anything to do with the Bible. Instead, you see, the true, the proper, the balanced, the biblical notion is that God speaks through what he has spoken. Scripture, the Bible, is not a museum piece. It's the vehicle through which the living voice of God is heard today. And this text is an outstanding example of that great truth, that what God spoke, he speaks and speaks and speaks afresh in every generation. You can see from this text how God's voice in Scripture becomes contemporary in every generation, because what you find in Hebrews 3 and 4 is an account that actually spans 3,000 years. Stage 1, the time of Moses, which is around about 1250 BC, and this is referred to in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. Now, that's a quotation from Psalm 95, where as in the rebellion is translated of Meribah. And the phrase as in the wilderness translates of Massa. So the reference in verse 8 is to two incidents that took place in the ministry of Moses, one happening at the beginning and one happening at the ending of the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. On both those occasions, there was no water for the children of Israel, and they complained to Moses, and Moses hears them saying, what have you done to us, bringing us out into the wilderness that we should die of thirst? And so Moses prays to God, who tells Moses what to do, and he strikes the rock and water gushes out. And in both cases, instead of listening to God's word, his promises to bring them into the promised land, they rebel against the voice of God and they put him to the test. That's where the story begins, way back in the life of Moses, 1250 BC. Stage 2 is the life of David, 300 years later, when he wrote Psalm 95. And referred to those two incidents in the life of Moses, and he says, oh, that today, David is speaking there of his own day, in the 10th century BC, oh, that today you would listen to his voice and not harden your hearts as they did 300 years ago in the wilderness. And then stage 3 is 1,000 years after David, to the first century AD, when the author to this letter to the Hebrews quotes Psalm 95 and applies it to his own readers and introduces it with the word in verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says today. That today is his own day in the first century AD. He was addressing to his readers the very same appeal of the word of God that Moses addressed to them, 1250 BC, that David addressed to them, 10th century BC, the Epistle to the Hebrews carries the same exhortation to its own day and generation, 1st century. Stage 4 is today, 12th of January, 2020. 2,000 years later in the story, and we read, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice." And we read it rightly, applying it to ourselves. And we ask, what does the word today mean? It means 12th of January, 2020. That's what it means. God's voice is coming to you, and you must listen to it today. And don't harden your hearts, he says. So God's appeal to his people is that they should listen to his voice that was first given through Moses, 1200 BC, repeated through David, 300 years later, then in the first century, to the Hebrew, in the Hebrew epistle, and is repeated to us again today in the 21st century as we read it. Chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "The word of God is living." The word of God is living. It is active. It is sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. So as we read it today, it pricks our conscience. Today it stabs us awake as God speaks to us. Today. And we really must learn this lesson because it really is a life-changing lesson for a Christian. God has spoken through the prophets and in Christ and in the apostolic witness to Christ. And still now today he speaks to us through what he has already spoken. Today, God is still speaking. The second thing we learn from this text is that we must listen to this voice today. If today he is speaking, today we have to listen. What a terrible tragedy it is throughout history that God has been and is speaking, 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 and yet man turns a deaf ear to the voice of God and will not listen to him. There's a tremendous emphasis that we find in Scripture on the necessity of listening to the voice of God. It's a great theme in Moses, particularly in the book of Deuteronomy, where again and again we come across the phrase, hear, O Israel, listen. And then be careful to do all that God speaks to you, and then it will be well with you, they're told. Again, it's the great message of the prophets through whom the word of God came to the people. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, many times we hear, from the day your fathers came up out of Egypt unto this very day, I have persistently sent my servants, the prophets, day after day, but they did not listen. And then there was this terrible epitaph recorded over the grave of Israel, recorded in 2 Chronicles 36. Yahweh, the Lord, your God of your fathers, sent persistently to you by his messengers, but you kept mocking his messengers and despising his word and scoffing his prophets until the wrath of God rose against you and there was no remedy. So through Moses and the prophets, again and again, we hear the same appeal. Listen. Listen to the voice of God. And then the Lord Jesus comes. And what do we find but the same emphasis? Do you remember how he once said to the people who were hearing him, "Let these words sink down into your hearts"? Or again, how often do we read, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? If you've got ears to listen, listen. Again, at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, anyone who listens to these words of mine and does them, I liken unto a wise man who builds his house upon a rock, and anyone who listens to these words of mine and does them not is like a fool who builds his house upon the sand. And quoting Deuteronomy, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we have to listen to this word. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice, says David in Psalm 95. Psalm 81, oh Israel, oh that you would listen to me. Is there someone like that here today? You're listening to God's voice. He's spoken to you since your childhood days, but you're not listening. Oh, that you would listen to me today, God says. The major sin of the church today in many lands, and the situation I know varies across the world in the church, I know that. But the major sin of the church today is that it is not listening to the word of God, to God's voice. In the West, the church continues to languish. In the developing world where the church is growing rapidly, the work is very often superficial and very weak. Why is that? Well, it's because of what Amos calls a famine of hearing the word of God. Either because the word of God is not being preached from the pulpit, or because the people in the pew are not listening to the word of God, or worse still, because the preacher and the people are hardening their hearts against the word of God. The church is dead whenever it's deaf. The deadness of the church is due more than anything else to the deafness of the church. Oh, that you would listen to me, says God. So, today, God is speaking. Today, we must listen to his voice. And then thirdly, today, he says, we must not harden our hearts. Now, we need to be clear that Christian listening is different from other listening. Christian listening is not primarily a matter of the ears. Christian listening is primarily a matter of the heart. Christian listening is not just hearing, comprehending, and understanding the message of God, but it is believing and obeying what God says. And that's a matter of the heart. So here in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, we read, brethren, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the word of God. A hard heart does not believe the word of God. And then verse 13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. A hard heart disobeys the word of God. So as we hear the word of God day by day, we need to respond to that word with faith and obedience. Whenever we read God's word, whenever we hear it, let us immediately respond to it today. We mustn't allow it simply to wash over us like water running off a duck's back. But that will happen, you see, if we postpone obedience. Because, well, it's a bit inconvenient today. It's a bit uncomfortable today. I'll look at it again tomorrow. And we think it'll be better tomorrow or in a few months' time, and so we put that off. But to postpone the response, you see, is to harden the heart against the word of God until we reach the point where we are deliberately refusing to obey it. Deliberately refusing to do what it says. We're not to put off our obedience until tomorrow because we don't know what a day will bring forth. And it is never easier to obey the word of God than it is today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And it is today then that we must not harden our hearts against the word of God. And then notice again in verse 13 that we read that we are to exhort one another every day. In other words, my responsibility and your responsibility as a Christian is not just that you listen to the word of God yourself with ear and heart, but to exhort one another to do it as well in the Christian family. And we're then to be warning each other about the danger of lethargy, any sign of lethargy, any sign of procrastination, any mark of disobedience or of having a hardened heart. We're to exhort one another today to be responsive to the word of God, to respond with faith and obedience. It's one of the vital responsibilities and vital benefits of belonging to a fellowship of a local church. Christian friends and family who every day are willing to exhort us to hear and to obey the word of God. So the living voice of God speaks through what he has spoken. His word inscripturated. His word preserved for us in the pages of the Holy Scriptures, but nonetheless a living voice that speaks to us today. And we are to listen. We're to have an attentive ear to the voice of God. And we're not to harden our hearts, but immediately to respond with faith and obedience, to believe the word and to do the word. Preachers are to endeavor to preach. Our people don't always read the Bible every day. But there must never be any question that when we gather on the Lord's Day, it's the word of God we are hearing. There must be no slackness in bringing the word of God to God's people. It ought to be not the fault of a preacher that people stop listening. And every one of us, every day, must be eager, attentive to hear God's word, as our Savior did. Do you remember in the prophecy of Isaiah, he has this figure who appears, who is the servant of the Lord, a prefigurement of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks of the Savior in Isaiah chapter 50 and describes him in this way. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. This is the servant of the Lord speaking. God wakens him. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. That's the Messiah speaking. Every day, God waking him with the word of God, morning by morning, listening to God, listening expectantly, saying like Samuel, and as we sung a short while ago, "Speak, Lord, your servant listens," responding obediently and not hardening our hearts, responding immediately. One final reference from the book of Proverbs in chapter 8, where we have, again, the pre-incarnate Savior, the personification of wisdom, and this is how he speaks in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34. "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul." Today, as the Holy Spirit says, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. We thank you that it speaks as powerfully to your people today as it did to Moses, as it did to David, as it did through the Savior and through the apostles, that to this very day your voice speaks and we may hear it and believe it and obey it. Give us hearts ready to hear your word and a will inclined to do your will. We ask these things for your namesake and glory. Amen.